Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 6 of the NHL podcast. I'm Rahil alongside my co-host,
Sophia.
We're in different spots. I know the backgrounds look a little different. It's a little scuffed. I apologize, guys, but we got to get another episode out for you guys. And I think there's no better way to start than Sophia. You and those power rankings. That was interesting. If you don't know, Sophia posted on YouTube some power rankings of just the top 15 NA players, 1v1, and I believe EU's coming out soon.
Yep, that's being posted very soon, Indeed.
So go a little in depth on that, because you know some of the listeners may not be familiar with that. So what made you want to do it? Like, you know, why do you think people reacted so positively or negatively? Obviously, some people were kind of upset they weren't on the list. Just give us the whole rundown of the whole, like, where this idea came from.
Yeah, no, for sure, man. And first of all, I just have to say, in the fact that we're at a different spot, I'm in a classroom and I feel the need to like get up and maybe write on the chalkboard right behind
Seriously,
me.
Seriously,
you know, redo the list, you know? I'm like, here we go. We got the NA power rankings. But yeah, so I mean, a couple years ago, there's like TDI Hockey. He was a very well-respected individual in our space. He hasn't been around since then, but he used to have a website and he had an expert panel. It included No Sleeves and a few others. And they had like a power ranking system going on. I remember when I first saw that, I was like, I want to get in on that. It's such an ego booster. You know what I mean? Like you see your name Absolutely. In the top 15, you're like, oh yeah, I'm so good. But I remember I barely made that list towards the end of the year. And we haven't had something like that, you know, the last couple of years. And also with the NHL 23 news coming out, people are a bit disappointed that we don't have a shared leaderboard system. I'm like, well, you know what? There is a way to spice up the community a little bit. And it is through our own power ranking system. So, you know, I thought about, you know, like who would be the best people to get the rankings from? And I was like, no better than the very players who compete at the highest level, the very players who practically played everybody. And then, of course, Nolseeves as well, being the most informed individual. So I basically asked all of them to rank their top 15. I let the experts know each rank is associated with some amount of points, one being 15, two being 14. We tallied up all the points and we came up with an official list. And the reaction has been hilarious, I would say. I see a lot of egos being hurt while other egos being boosted. But it's one of those things that I think brings a lot of content to the community. I feel like it's been needed. What has your reaction been overall?
It's surprising. I definitely think the power ranking is a good idea, because like I think back to like, you know, like any sport you're into, whether it's hockey, baseball, like the leagues will always post their power rankings and you're just like, yo, why are the Blue Jays only seventh? They should be like top three or something. And it sparks so much controversy, debate, and discussion around, you know, the sport. So I think it's a great idea. We'll get into a little bit more about, you know, what I think about your rankings and stuff. I agree with a lot of them. There's one I have a little bit something with.
Would that be me?
No, it's not. No, you shouldn't be on the list. No, I'm kidding.
Sophia's of course. Awesome.
I think the one thing though that, you know, people need to understand is like, obviously I saw a lot of reaction of people being like, oh, like I didn't make the list, or like, hey, like, you know, kind of disappointed. I think what people need to realize too is like, you know, these are rankings, you know, it's not like you just got random people. You did get some professionalism with it, with some of the top players as well as No Sleeves, which is why I think some people, there was a bit of that negative reaction. But I think the one thing everyone needs to realize is use this as motivation. Like, hey, I, you know, didn't make this list. You know what? I'm going to make sure by mid next year, I'm on the list and I'm going to make sure I get there no matter what. So I think that's kind of where the negativity came from. But I think if those people use it as a motivational factor, it's definitely going to get a little interesting.
Yeah, no, absolutely, man. It's like one of those things. I feel like a lot, you know, there's so many good players. Like there's probably like about 20 to 30 players that we didn't even mention who could have cracked, you know, inside the top 15. Like all just like the guys that come off the top of my head, guys like AK or C Bruins or like Buckle, you know, Sky. Mm-hmm. These are guys with so much talent. And if you just put it from like a skill perspective, they can beat anybody within the top 15. So I mean, to your point, right? Like now that you see you're not in the top 15, you use that as motivation. You know, show up in these tournaments, and you know, we've been hearing it from a lot of people in the community that we're expecting a lot of tournaments this year. So there's just so much opportunity to get within the top 15. And I think through it, we'll also see a lot of storylines building up. Obviously, there's some, even for some of the folks within the top 15. I'll mention Sat Bailey, and I think he thinks that he should have been within the top 10. Like, you know, he's got reason to push himself up too. So I mean, we've got all these storylines, and I'm just really excited. I know a lot of these players will be streaming starting next month as well. So there's a lot of drama to unfold. But well, I'm curious, which particular ranks are you questioning a little bit?
Well, you just mentioned them. Saf Alien, man.
Oh, yeah.
I was surprised. Simply because, and I don't know if this is just me, and again, I am, when it comes to NHL esports, I'm a lot newer than you and a lot of the other people. So that's part of it too. But for me, you know, it seems like there's this divide between tournaments experience and money game experience. And both are important, both are valuable, and both are good ways to judge players. I feel like you need to judge the tournament play a little bit more. Now, the reason behind that is, you know, you think about just like in general when people play and stuff like that, like when you're playing money games, your money's on the line, you know, you're playing to win money. It's a little bit stressful, but there's something about being in a tournament, knowing there's tons and tons of eyes watching you. Like, you know, we saw it at GWC, like that was intense. That was epic. And I feel like, I don't know, for me personally, you know, Sap's a good buddy of mine too, you know, but even just based off that tournament experience, I feel like that should have been valued a little bit more. And, you know, I probably would have had Sap in that top 10, but like the thing you said as well is these rankings are so close. Like, I feel like there's, and I don't know how you feel about this, but I feel like Regs is in a tier, like S tier. And then like in like S minus tier, if you could call it, is like Gren. And then it's the rest of the field, like all over the place. But it's so close with everyone else. You know what I mean?
No, absolutely, man. And I have to say, like, because each expert had their own rankings, I'm sure each of them compared the official list to their own ranks to see how close they were. And like, even when I compared to my own ranking system, I realized that it's off base, especially for the bottom 5 to 7, I would say. And it's exactly to your point, just the fact that, you know, I personally put more emphasis on tournament placements and specifically the GLBC, just because it is the hardest tournament. Yeah. And there are a couple of players who ended up placing a little bit higher than I had them in my rankings. And so I took it as a sense of like, you know, their potential heading into NHL 23. But I guess from my perspective, it was like, well, I think that, you know, tournament success should still probably trump that a little bit. But,
yeah,
you know, I mean, it's just one of those things that happened the way it did. And I guess when you have like 6 people on the expert, it averages out in some capacity. But yeah, no, there's when I first looked at the list, I was like, OK, no, this is a perfect list. And then I'm seeing some players who are like very upset. And then I was like, I took it upon myself to talk to these guys. I'm like, well, why do you disagree with the list? I mean, you literally couldn't get better people to do these lists. And so they brought up these very points. So I think it's very interesting the way that even though we have the most, I would say, objective players, that there's still some inherent bias, right? In terms of like how we view players and how much respect we give them and the potential that they have in the community. I will say, though, even with the tiers, I completely agree with you. With the EU power rankings, though, it's a lot less clear in that sense. Like, I feel like in NA, I mean, yes, Regs is in his own tier. Gren is in his own tier. And then, I mean, top 4, pretty much everybody agrees, sums it up with Jose and Polks. But with EU, like, you can probably guess who number 1 is. Can you guess?
Yeah, it's probably Eki.
I think so.
But
after it, after him, there's like, you'll see there's a huge drop off, and even like the experts themselves couldn't really figure out who the true like 2 to 5 players are.
Yeah.
So I mean, I don't know. It's really interesting. But we'll see.
I think one thing too is like, I feel like I think this was your first time doing this power ranking thing, correct?
It was. Yeah.
So I feel like, you know, as you know, you'll kind of learn the process about it and stuff. But I think one thing too is like, just because you're not top 15 doesn't mean you have huge potential. Like, you know, you look at like I'm just thinking of the NHL, for example. Like, Montreal's not a top 15 team. No. Does Montreal have better potential than probably 5 of those teams like in the future? Absolutely, the way they're rebuilding. So I think that's part of it too, is like, I feel like some of the rankings, maybe people put potential in there as well, which is valid. But like, if you're basing it off like, hey, there's a tournament right now, every single player in North America and planet, who's the top 15 going to place out? I think you have to look at it subjectively like that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I have to make one more comment. I just remember it, because Saf Alien is so adamant that he definitely should have been top 15. And I'll make it known here on the NHL podcast presented by the Hockey News that Saf, I know you're going to be listening to this, but on my rankings, I did have you as number 12 as well. So if you need further motivation, you just got it from here. I absolutely agree with you, man. And like, again, these rankings are so interchangeable. But I thought that this would be also kind of a good opportunity to revisit some of these players and like why we think that, you know, that they have deserved the space that they got, and maybe even kind of do like a prediction. You know, do we think some of these guys are going to stay within the top 15? Are they going to be dropping out? And I think there's a lot of pressure on us here because some of these players might listen in. But I think it's fun to be brutally honest here. So we'll start off with Rex. Do you think he maintains his spot as number one?
I do think so. I think before we clarify, are we talking about this time next year, or are we talking about like 2 months into 23 or 3 months into 23?
That's a great question. You know what? Let's say by the end of the year after GWC.
Okay. End of the year. That's a tough end one. First off, I'm going to say I know some of the top 15 don't follow me on Twitter. So, you know, you might be a little lower if you don't follow me. I know you all follow Severe.
Oh, sorry. Just a quick thing, by the way. Whoever your number one is also your prediction to win the GWC. So maybe you have yourself as number one. Who knows?
Regs is number two then. I think Regs is number two. I think someone else is going to win GWC. We'll go into that a little later maybe. I think Regs probably two.
Okay. So currently we've got Gren up number two. Where do you think Gren ends up?
Why are you putting me? You answer some questions too. Don't just put it all on me, man. Where do you think Regs is going?
You know, that's totally fair.
This guy's throwing me right under the bus, man.
You know what? The way that's funny. You know what? I love Steven's comment here. He's like, I already won the GWC.
Yeah, Steven's
just on another level. Like, Steven is just too good for us.
Yeah.
But I have to say, with Regs, I'm in the standpoint of like, until somebody proves us or until somebody knocks Regs out, it is hard for me to predict anybody but Regs. And I know Gren has done it before, so he would be my best guess. And I guess Own the Blue has the most potential, but I would say Regs stays at number one.
I think that's the safe option too, and I think that's fair because, like what you said, till someone dethrones the king exactly. is at the top.
Yeah. Might be me though. I'm kidding. Yeah, that's not happening. It's never happened. It will not happen.
My goal is to like get in the top like 1500 of this list, maybe.
See if that happens. Yeah. So maybe you can get your own sweater. Like No Sleeves has his top 1000 sweater.
Top 1500. So you have Regs at one. I'm assuming you have Gren too then.
I have to think about this for a second.
Ooh.
Oh my goodness. Ooh. Also, you know what? Just because of how dominant him and Regs have been, it's hard to knock them out right now. I'll keep a Gren at two.
Okay, so let's put it this way. I'm going to ask you another question because I'm going to kind of like, it almost seems like everyone has Gren and Regs and then the field. Who emerges from the field? Like, who's going to finish the highest out of everyone else in the field?
Oh, that's a great question. You know what? I think that this might be Own the Blue's year. If it's not Regs or Gren, like Own the Blue, man, this kid has so much skill and so much potential. He's young too. And I mean, I've known him for a couple of years now. He wasn't able to play in so many tournaments. I know he was close in the IIHF tournament. He lost in the finals of the Canadian bracket. But if that kid, you know, he gets his mental confidence to a T, and some of that comes with experience, obviously. Look at Geimer, how far he went in GW. Geimer used to like choke in those intense moments. Not anymore, because experience comes through for him. But Own the Blue, I think if he by the end of the year, I wouldn't be surprised if he presents like a huge challenge. If I had to make a prediction, I can see Own the Blue.
I think Own the Blue is a great prediction because based off of what you said, like, you know, he's young and this kid's just, he's good, man. Like, he's good.
Yeah.
For me, I think Polks. I don't know what, you know what, like there's something about Polgs, and it's just last year, like it seemed like everything was going good for him. And then GWC, Brandon DeGren, we all know what happened.
Don't know what happened.
It was rough. But I just feel like that right there, like he showed the dominance and he showed how good he was last year. And I feel like this year could be like just that little step of just, you know, like I wouldn't be surprised to see. Honest, I'm going to say right now, I wouldn't be surprised if he won GWC. That's my dark horse. If it's not Regs or Gren, yeah.
Yeah. No, that's very fair. Like I remember, I think Polks had his initial breakout in, I think it was spring of 2021 from the Caps Gaming invite only versus tournament. I matched him. I believe I had lost both games, but he won that tournament, right? Like,
yeah,
he beat Regs. Well, first he beat Josh Fearless, who at the time was easily a top three player. And then he beat Regs in the finals. I think this was spring 2021. So that was like his breakout tournament, right? And then ever since then, and to your point, like all of this year, he just like elevated and he won so many tournaments. I wouldn't be surprised either.
It's something about that that just kind of like, I don't know. Again, I'm newer at this whole esports scene to you guys, but there's just something about like someone who does like okay, I feel bad comparing this to Pogues and you now. It reminds me of like the Leafs. Like you need that, yeah, like there's that dominance, but you just need that hump. And like so many people say, like, listen, I'm a Montreal fan. The Leafs went around, I think they can win the cup easily. And I feel like once Pogues gets over that like GWC hump, like he could just run with it. And you know what? Like there's tons of other people. Own the Blue, you said, for example. Like anyone, I feel like anyone in the top 15, if they won GWC, no one would be purely shocked. They'd be surprised, but not shocked, so to say. Because this is top 15 guys in the world. These guys are incredible, man. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. But in line with that, who do you think falls out of the top 15 entirely?
That's tough. I don't know, man. That's a tough one. I don't know. What do you think? I went first last time. I'll let you go first.
I'm like putting all the pressure on you to answer these questions. I'm looking at the rankings as we speak. So we got Regs, Graham, Polks, Joe's, Geimer, Uninstall, myself, Junior Pants, Cad, Duncan, Own the Blue, Savnip, and Kessler Javier. This was at first seemed like a hard question, but then I saw my name. I expect myself to fall out of the top 15. And this was also a way of just taking pressure off me. So it's like in the future, you know, if we match in a tournament or champs or whatever it may be, if you lose, it's sort of like, oh, you just lost to a content creator. Yeah. But I think honestly though, like I do feel like I'm slowing down with my thumbs when I'm playing some of these incredibly talented players. Like I've been playing like Uninstall a bunch of times, and even Aves, who's not in the top 15 right now, wouldn't be surprised to see him in there, by the way. But I feel like I'm starting to slow down a little bit, also with my shifting priorities a little bit. So that would be my prediction. As Steven makes another comment about my overall ranking in Call of Duty. I disagree. I think I'm the best in Call of Duty.
No, you're not. I'll wipe the floor with you.
I think I am.
that's you know what? That's fair though. And I like you picking yourself because you're taking the pressure off yourself. So if you do bad, it's like, hey, I said I wasn't gonna do bad.
Yeah.
For me, I'm gonna go process of realism here. So, you know, I'm gonna say Kesso. And the reason being, you know, he's got a baby now.
Yeah.
He's, you know, had some other responsibilities. I just feel like he's still going to be a very, very good player. I just, you know, life comes quick sometimes. I mean, you know how it is. You're talking about how you feel, you know, you're losing your thumbs a little bit. Like, I remember when I used to be, like, pretty good at Chell, and now I'm like, dude, like I was watching a podcast with No Sleeves, and he was talking about, like, you know, money games and stuff, and, like, just load up a bunch of money and play against the good guys. I'm like, dude, like, I would lose so much money so fast. Like, these guys are incredible. But, like, you know, I feel like life gets to you at some point, and, like, I'm going to take the safe option and say Kesso because of that. Just, you know.
Yeah. Life and I feel like Kesso would be very comfortable with that answer anyway. I mean,
yeah.
He's actually surprised. Like he said it multiple times that he's surprised he's even within the top 15, given he's only played GWC. That's the only tournament he's played. But yeah, I think that's a good prediction. I mean, we'll see though. Kesso, longtime legend. You know, who
absolutely
knows? But Rahil, I think this is also a good time to shift the gears a little bit and talk about, you know, the deep dive about NHL 23. We recently had the presentation deep dive, and I think it was just last week. What are your overall thoughts about that?
So overall thoughts, I kind of go two ways here. So one, I like what they're doing. I like, you know, the atmosphere changes, how things are going to look different, how it's going to be a little bit more realistic. I love the presentation changes. The thing that I'm disappointed with was the fact that the presentations are its own deep dive, because that shows like there's not that much changing. We got to make presentations in its own 6-minute long video. I'm pretty sure they're putting World of Chell franchise and Be a Pro all into one video, so you know there's not going to be a lot there. So that's I'm disappointed in. But in terms of the overall content, I like it, man. Like, you know, it reminds me of the Anthem thing. I was going to mention that too, because we're going to talk about a couple things that we like about it. The Anthem thing is going to be incredible, man. Like, yeah, even just something as simple as, like, you're an American player and you match up against a Canadian and you hear the Canadian national anthem because, you know, that guy has home, you're going to be like, man, I want to kick this guy's ass.
Yeah, no, absolutely, man. I think the one thing that stood out to me immediately when I was watching the presentation deep dive is that some of the stuff that they're presenting as part of the features in the game, mm-hmm, was presented as new a few titles ago. I can't quite remember, like, what, NHL 13, perhaps, or whatever, yeah, it may be. But I will say, though, it is still new in the sense of, like, you know, you've got better graphics now, and even the animations themselves, the on-ice, mm-hmm, you know, the animation. So, like, all of that stuff is still new. I would call it, like, new and improved. And I think I'm big on presentation, and I feel like the presentation has gone stale the last, yeah, couple of years. So it's definitely a nice upgrade. And I know that, like, a lot of people, when they play NHL, they play with game sound off. And this might be a way to bring back, you know, that aspect of listening to game sound. I think, yeah, I'll definitely give it a try, but
I totally agree with that. I think just some of the aspects are going to be fun with the game sound. It's going to be like when you're, you know, pre-game loading screen, when you're loading in, you see everything, it's going to pump you up a little bit and you're going to get excited just like you would normally, you know, an actual hockey game. But Saphir, you know, I mentioned the national anthems. What was one or two things that you kind of were like, damn, like I kind of dig this presentation aspect?
Yeah, no, that's a great question, man. I would definitely like the lighting, the pregame intro lighting, mm-hmm, with the backdrop music and everything. That's definitely my favorite part. But a close second would be how, based on the video, the crowd is now dynamic based on the situation of the game, right? Yeah. So if you're down by one goal late in the third and you tie the game, the crowd will erupt like on another level. Mm-hmm. I think that's really cool. Oh, and I can't forget about this one. I think the Stanley Cup celebrations have needed an overhaul. And to see that you can also pick and choose who you want to hand off the Stanley Cup to, that is such a cool addition to the game. And I see myself now, not that I would play a franchise mode, I can't handle sitting through that, but I can see myself playing the Stanley Cup playoff mode. I think that's been a thing in the game where you do like, mm-hmm, a simulation base and you skip to the finals just to play around with the celebration, because I think it's a really cool addition. What about you?
Yeah, I was kind of surprised to see the Leafs winning the cup in that little thing. That was a little unreal.
Okay, that was a little bit yikes.
But for me, like I love all that stuff. I love the hat trick. And not just, you know, they'll throw hats on the ice. I love that you can, I believe in World of Chell, you can change what it is. So they can throw aliens, they can throw teddy bears. Like, that's just something small that's like, damn, this is kind of cool. Like, you know, it's a little bit more customization. Aside from that, though, one thing I think that's going to be huge for 1v1 players and, like, versus and hut is when your AI shows their changing lines and stuff like that. How many times have you passed to someone near the bench and he's skating off the ice and it's an icing? Now you'll see him, like, do the little, like, hey, I'm getting off thing with his stick, and that is going to save so many people. That was huge, man.
Man, that was from a gameplay standpoint, the most frustrating thing the last number of years. And sometimes it would happen at the absolute worst times. Like, you think you're about to go on an odd man rush and your guy just goes for a line change and, like, you're passing it. I mean, at least having the signal now, you know, you're just going to carry out the puck by scanning it now. I think it's a very important integration within the game. But I do hope that the AI in the game do not go for mindless line changes without, you know, critical awareness of what's actually happening on the ice. So it's nice that they're going to raise their stick, but hopefully they have good awareness in terms of timing.
The worst was when you'd enter the zone, try and like ring it around to the defenseman on the other side and he's changing and you don't even know. That was, man, some of the line changes were ridiculous, man. But I totally agree. I think if the AI is a bit smarter with that kind of stuff, then that is going to be perfect. And it's going to be absolutely, like a top thing for sure.
Yeah, no worries. Absolutely. And I think with the NHL deep dive content, I think there's still a couple of more deep dives coming up. I think game mode is one of them. And yep. I'm I'm really curious exactly what they mean by game mode, because I feel like the last few years we haven't seen a lot of new additions to the game. I mean, we have like Hot Rush, which was like a new game mode, and I think they made some adjustments in terms of like how squad battles is played. Do you have any guesses about what they mean by
I can guess there's going to be no GM connected. I'm pretty sure that's not going to be in there, man. I don't know, honestly, because it almost sounds like I don't know if there's going to be a new game mode. I don't think there is. It almost sounds like here's franchise, here's everything but Hut, and here's what we changed with it. That's what the video that's what this deep dive sounds like to me. And you know, I'm leaning towards more of an Ischel player now. So I kind of wish Ischel got a little bit more. But to be fair, like, you know, combining everything is just so concerning about like what's going to change. Like, it seems like it's not much. You know what I mean? What about you, Zephyr? Is there another one besides the game mode you're looking forward to?
Man, I have to say, and I mentioned this on Twitter before, and the community was on me. They're like, no, we got to fix the gameplay issues first. But it would be so cool at some point. I mean, definitely not happening now, but in the future, maybe have something like be a referee mode. I just feel like it would be so, dude, I'm telling you, bring be a referee mode, and our Sixes Club would win every competitive Sixes, just because I would ensure that happens. But like, kind of like be a pro, you know, I feel like there could be like storylines.
It'd just be fun. It'd be something new to conference. Do.
Yeah. It's just so much fun. And I feel like it gives such an opportunity to take it from like a casual approach, right? Because it's like, at the end of the day, like, it doesn't really matter who wins the game, but it'd be nice to like get on the bad side of the crowd when you're making terrible call after terrible call. I think that'd be a lot of fun. But the one part that the deep dive schedule that I'm looking forward to is also the Hut live content stuff that they're going to be discussing soon. And I'm particularly interested if they're going to elaborate on female players and how we can utilize them in Hut. My assumption is that it's going to be like a mixed sort of game mode being Hut. Mm-hmm. But I hope that they can further elaborate on that. And also with NHL games the last several years, the meta has always been to go with size. So I'm hoping that, you know, smaller players will be, you know, hopefully we get reasons to use the smaller players, because I think it's cool and it'll be a lot of fun in that sense. So
I totally agree. It'll be interesting to see what kind of goes along there. Now, my one question to you is what's the biggest thing you think Hut needs this year? Like, is it like new game modes, or is it like better content? Is it improved? Mm-hmm. Like what are you kind of hoping for with that video?
Yeah, I think the one great thing that EA did last year, and I know that, I mean, the community will never be fully, they would never fully agree on something. Yeah. But from my perspective, I'm for the most part, a free-to-play player. I mean, I spent $200 in packs all of last year. I think that still puts me, for the most part, as free-to-play. Yeah. But the one thing that, you're like, no. But the one thing that I appreciated last year was that I felt as though I could still keep up with my team. Mm-hmm. And that used to be like a struggle, you know, previously, where it felt like it just felt like you had to spend money or you had to have insane pack luck to have a good team. NHL 22, that was not an issue. Making your team was fairly easy. But in saying that, I still didn't like how content was approached in terms of like doing all these kinds of sets and getting the collectible or the players, I guess they kind of replace the collectibles. I hope that they add more creative ways in terms of how we can get some of these cards, and also the importance of guaranteed rewards. I think that would bring value to the players who consistently play the game, but also do well, for example, in Hut Champs, because right now it's based on lottery, essentially. But yeah, I hope that if they can further fine tune how they hand out rewards and how they promote team building, they're on the right track. But hopefully some improvements in that regard. What about you?
I totally agree with that. I think the whole, you know, everything with the sets and everything was like, it was, it was good. The problem is I think they need to improve it this year if they're sticking to the four console, at least for Hut markets, because there's going to be less cards on the market, the same as before, and it's going to be hard to like find people and stuff like that. So you need to find a more creative way in order to get that kind of stuff, so that like, you're not just sitting there like, I'd like to buy this one card, but none exists and I can't make it. I'm kind of screwed and stuck in that like spot, so to speak. So I think that's going to be a big one. the surprising thing for me though this year, I've always been a huge HUT player. I always, you know, spend a little bit of money here and there and stuff. I think I'm gonna give HUT a try this year. I think this year I'm gonna focus on Ischl. I think I'm gonna, you know, I'm gonna devote myself. I'm gonna announce it here. I'm devoting myself to Ischl a little bit. Probably gonna do LG. Try and get drafted again. I got drafted like 2018. But no, I was thinking about it. It'd be perfect because, like, you know, you got the one-on-one 1v1 side. It's like we need a little bit more sixes love and a little bit more threes love. So I'm gonna kind of get into that a little bit. And it'll give us both perspectives on, you know, both sides of the game, because I think both sides are important. I think it's important to have ones and it's important to have sixes.
Yeah, I absolutely love that you bring that, Rahil, because you're right, it is important. And I also feel like this is going to be such a big year for NHL esports in general. And that includes sixes, right? I know that there's multiple teams who are looking into hosting sixes tournaments. And yeah, I think it's important because I know we've spent a lot of time, you know, since the GWC happened, talking about 1v1. So to your point, now that you're going to be engaging more with the sixes side of things, we're going to have even more sort of unique perspectives to learn more about sixes, you know, the players, the storylines. Like, who knows, maybe you can do like a power rankings on the sixes teams once you get more familiar with them and start some drama there. Because I don't know, there's a whole lot of stuff that can be.
Sixes drama is the best kind of drama. Well, dude, listen. Yeah. If any LGCHL owners are listening to this, listen, I'm available. I got drafted in 18. I was pretty good, pretty stable defenseman. But yeah, I think it's going to be exciting going forward. Yeah, I'd like to do a sixes power ranking. I think I just got to get a bit more involved with that. Should. Yeah.
What round and pick were you drafted back then?
I think I was like mid second round. Like, it was decent. Like, it wasn't terrible. I think I was like 57th to Minnesota or something like that. I can't remember.
It's not bad. I have to say, I had an abysmal CHL season.
Yeah.
I played three seasons, but yeah, I had an abysmal CHL season. This was right after I had won a Leafs LAN. So I guess the timing worked out, because even though I played left wing, but I only averaged about 1 point per game. And for a high-end player, that's like,
I average as a defenseman, buddy. Come on.
Yeah. Like, it was truly a humbling experience. And I was like, there's no shot I'm being drafted in the first round. And then Pierre Talent, who's a multiple Stanley Cup champion in LG, he had reached out to me. He's like, by the way, I'm the Leafs GM, and we've got the third overall pick. And it was interesting. I had a lot of interest, like that the Leafs had reached out. It's so funny talking about the Leafs, but it's
good. I know. Right?
Like, I wish it was the real life Leafs.
Yeah.
But it was the Leafs, the Habs, the Kings, the Ducks. They're all in the first round. I was like, oh wow, I'm kind of surprised you guys still think that I could be good in sixes. Yeah. But yeah, so I was drafted third. I did actually end up having a solid season. I was a Calder finalist. Did not win it though, but yeah.
Yeah, I'll tell you a little bit about mine too, because mine's way worse than yours. So I got drafted, and then I retired. But how I retired, I didn't announce my retirement. I just didn't respond to messages because I was just like, this is too much time. I don't want to do it. And then I got traded to like 8 CHL teams because I was in the AHL and they had my rights. And like, everyone was like, hey, are you going to play? And I just didn't respond. So listen, if you guys get me this time, I promise you I will not bail on you like that. But yeah, you know what, like, for any of you listening who want to get into, like, you know, playing more ESHL and stuff like that, LG League Gaming is a great starting platform. Like, it's insane how well organized they are. Even if you don't make it onto a team and get bitted, there's training camp where you can just play with other people and just, you know, slowly get better. But there's also a 1v1 side to it too, which is, I mean, you know, you can get better at 1v1 too. So yeah, definitely go check that out if you're interested. I mean, Saphir got drafted, I got drafted, you know. You guys can probably get drafted too.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, if I can get drafted in the first round after the kind of season that I had, and if Rahil can get drafted.
Exactly.
And then, anybody, exactly. Truly anybody could get drafted. But yeah, no, like, huge shout out to LG. And honestly, I feel like we also need to give a shout out to Sports Gamer. They're basically the LG, but for the Europeans. They deserve a lot of love too. And it's always nice having like a centralized system for both regions. Yeah. Like, you know, if there are new players who want to get into the scene and they're looking, you know, where to look at to get started, if you're an NA, go right to LG, LE Gaming on Twitter. If you're you from Europe, Sports Gamer, same sort of deal. You know, all the sixes tournaments, a lot of their 1v1 tournaments as well, they're hosted through those. And Sports Gamer, they've even like gone out of the way to host LAN events. Yeah, and awesome. I think that that's so cool, like the way the European community sometimes comes together. So yeah, I mean, we'll see. Shout out to those organizations, and yeah, definitely the foundation for a lot of the tournaments that we've absolutely had the pleasure of participating.
Yep, absolutely. I think on that note, we'll end it off. So if you have any plans for the rest of the week, you anything fun going on?
Nah, man, but stay tuned for the EU power rankings, because there's, like I said, there's some drama there. I'm excited. And other than that, we'll continue to be sleep deprived and get some of our IRL stuff, you know, casually smiling behind all the pain in the background. But we got this.
Exactly, man. Yeah, I'm going to check out an apartment later today. So we'll see if that works. And then hopefully have some job news in the next couple days. So next few weeks might be busy. So the next episode, you know, I'll try and make it, but maybe it'll be Safir and someone else in the meantime, you know, to cover for me while I, you know, move. But yeah, I guess we'll end it on there, guys. Thank you for watching and listening. Episode 6. Can't believe it's been 6 already, Safir, of the NHL podcast. Thank you as always, guys. And we'll see you next time.